So I'm here to speak a little bit about a novel school nurse clinic surveillance project that we've implemented in Georgia. And you may wonder why a zoonotic and vector-borne disease EPI is doing chronic disease disparities, and that's because this wasn't originally intended for that, which I'll talk about a little bit. So the timeline for the development of this project, between 2005 and 2010, our current epidemiology preparedness director started thinking about this when she was an epidemiologist in the coastal district. H1N1 was a turning point since it was intended as a surveillance, syndromic surveillance project to use in schools for infectious disease events. It took some time to find a school system interested in participating. There were concerns about, even though it was just count data, there was concerns about identifying students and things like that among school systems. A lot were willing to talk about it, but only one was willing to take it on. So that school system was Effingham County School System. It's made up of 13 schools. All 13 participated. And really that was because the project was championed by Marcia Cornell, who is the head of school nursing. The 2012-2013 school year was the year that it was piloted in all of the Effingham County schools. And since then, the school nurses have maintained entry because they believe in what we're finding from the data, and also because they are just really nice people. So what we originally thought, the project was originally developed in the hopes of capturing syndromic data that might provide advanced information on community infectious disease events. Again, kind of mirroring it after the syndromic surveillance done in hospitals. We thought with school nurses, they may see things in children, you know, they may be going homesick, et cetera, and we knew that absenteeism data was not very good. So we thought this might be a way to enhance it. What we collected was count data for the following syndromes: influenza-like illness, rash and fever, and gastrointestinal. Those are the ID. We also had asthma, diabetes, injury, and students who were sent home. Nurses entered counts at the end of the day to protect the identity of students. Since then, syndrome definitions have been refined, and we've added some. So we discovered really high numbers of asthma and diabetes in the first year. We talked to the nurses, and they said there was a difference between acute asthma, which was defined as a child that was in distress, and then they also had students who were coming in every day just for their regular maintenance inhaler. So we identified that as just regular asthma, so that was maintenance. Same with diabetes. We also added oral and mental health at the behest of the nurses. So what we found. So this is an example from one of the elementary schools. It's not easy to read this, so I'll just kind of point out the major points. Injury is that top line, that's kind of a taupe color. But the things that were really the take-home is the green line that's toward the top, and then the blue line that was toward the top are asthma and diabetes. So when we separated out the acute episodes, we were still seeing a ton of children coming in just for asthma and diabetes maintenance. And we also saw, when we looked at elementary schools that fed into middle schools, we saw that the elementary schools that had high diabetes incidence also had high diabetes burden for visits in the middle school. So it was indicating, you know, a little bit of a quality control with that data, that we were seeing the same thing when they moved into those schools. This is middle school. That top line is diabetes. So the nurses, the preponderance of what they're doing is providing maintenance care for children with diabetes. In high school, you'll see that being sent home jumps up to the top, as will happen with high school children. But diabetes is that green line that's just still right up there under that top line. So during an acute ID illness event, so we had a couple of gastrointestinal outbreaks, et cetera, we found that the nurses were too busy to report. So they could go in later and backdate, so they would say, oh, you know, they would record these things, and they would go enter them in a week later. But for syndromic data, that doesn't give us anything, because we don't see it until after the event happened. So it really indicated that the module might not be good for Sentinel use. Again, we were really surprised to learn that chronic disease and injury was really also high up there, represented the highest burden of visits for all school types, elementary, middle school, and high school, with variation between schools, which brought up SES as a question. We asked the nurses anecdotally amongst the 7 elementary schools, so the ones we saw really high diabetes incidence in, we asked, you know, just anecdotally, what do you guys think about it? And they told us their perception was that it was an SES issue. Nurses, you know, were essentially providing primary, quote-unquote, primary care for many of these children, where they were seeing them and really managing their diabetes and asthma for them. This is just kind of a graph on SES. Again, this is, you know, it turned into a really chronic disease sort of focus, and this was a project I was kind of doing in my free time, so there was not a lot of time available. Our amazing EIS officer actually looked at this particular graph, she used free and reduced lunch program enrollment to indicate SES, and we just wanted to see if we saw a lot of difference. Really, what we saw a difference in the most was injury reports. As you'll see, GI went up with SES, which doesn't make a lot of sense. But there wasn't a lot that came out of this rough SES data. So we think there's a lot of benefit that might come from looking at SES with a better tool than this. And also with the free and reduced lunch programs, the categories, again, we're getting count data per school, so we're using that count data to categorize an entire school. So if we could kind of look at SES a little more closely within the school system, that might also help. So going forward, we're working with the asthma and chronic disease programs at DPH with the purpose of facilitating the continuation of the project. Again, doesn't make a lot of sense for infectious disease to continue supporting it since what we found is that it won't do what we had originally planned for it. And also the funding for it came from syndromic surveillance. And since it's not useful for that, we're not able to continue it with that. And as I said, right now, the nurses are receiving no benefit for this, quote unquote, other than the reports that myself or our IS officer give them. So they're really just doing it because they enjoy getting that information and they think that it benefits them, and I believe that it does. So we're hoping to work with those programs because, again, this is a novel system. These, like the asthma program can get some numbers on asthma that they wouldn't be able to get by school otherwise, so we think it could be really valuable for those programs. I've also been presenting it at conferences to get the word out about these amazing nurses. Again, they're just really fantastic. It's unbelievable. I wish I could get more into the counts, but they have thousands of visits every semester with these kids, and it's only one nurse per school. And they're just really amazing women who are also entering all of this data without receiving anything for it. And I think that's it. Thank you.